Good morning, I'm Emily Files. It's 8:37. Joining me in the studio, artist Carmel Anderson and Diane Gubitayo from Wish. Carmel has an exhibit coming up, an art exhibit coming up called Unheard Voices, Unheard Wisdom, focusing on the topic of domestic violence. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you.
Carmel, tell me about the exhibit.
The exhibit is something I am thrilled that we are producing and we are putting together with Wish, and it's on the subject of domestic violence. Several years ago, we were talking about a project for the shelter using masks, and I shared with then-director Naomi Michelson my idea of doing these large sculptures and talking about how exciting it would be to have a safe, welcoming environment for people to learn about domestic violence. And it was something I never left me. And several years went by, and I just kept feeling like this is something that we should do. And so I just felt this pull for the show. So we put it together very quickly. And in the meantime, then Naomi chose to step down. And Diane has been amazing support from Wish, because my desire for the show is to be authentic and really hear the voices of mostly focuses on women, although it does affect men and definitely affects children, and that will be part of the exhibit. And the pieces were actually easy for me to come up with in the design aspect, but I've done a lot of research on my own and really relied on Diane and Wish to make sure that these pieces are authentic in their voice. And the interesting thing about art is it doesn't matter what language you speak or your socioeconomic background or whatever, each piece, the viewer brings their own history and connects in a way that words often can't. And that is what I'm hoping is, as people come and see the exhibit, that their awareness of this great problem that we had exposed in October through this article, which the amazing thing is, I didn't even know the article was going to come out in October. Where
this is the survey that found how many women in Ketchikan?
50%, one out of two women. Right, are victims in their lifetime of domestic violence or sexual assault. That's, Ketchikan's data survey. Right. Very powerful, valid research.
So that came out while you were working on the
Correct.
Art. And what kind of effect did that have?
It is amazing, the timing. I think it's one of those things that was meant to be. It couldn't have been planned. this survey, we like to think in Ketchikan, and I'm sure other communities also feel this way, like we know Alaska is number one in many ways. It's number one in most women killed by male predators. I read one place, 6 times the national average for sexual abuse of children. So we have numbers that we can't really ignore, but it was very easy for us to say, well, that's up north. You know, that's not our problem on our island. And it is our problem, and it is something that we can't now say. We can no longer say it was another part of the state. The problem does exist here in Ketchikan. And so it's opened the article, and it was well done and well researched that it has brought it to able to have people talk about the problem. Mm-hmm. It's no longer a secret or quiet. It's part of the conversation now that many of the community leaders are stepping forward saying this is something we have to address, because often we think it's a woman's problem, but it really isn't. It's a community problem. It affects our children. It affects schools. The medical cost is unbelievable.
Law enforcement.
Mm-hmm. The list goes on and on. And the interesting thing that I've really learned with working with Wish is how it's a very hard message to get out, because they have to be so confidential. I've never forgot the first time I visited there, where they had cameras on me, because they have to be so careful who they open the door to. And so for Diane, there's all these stories that would really help people to know, but she can't share them because...
we have to protect women and high confidentiality and create, create that safe place. And so... there are so many stories and so many things we see inside the shelter that are so powerful that's the wonderful thing here of what Carmel's work is going to do, because she's going to bring those stories alive in a way that is safe and a way that is non-threatening to people and non-accusatory. It's not a blame game. It's about, this is something that affects all of us and hurts all of us, and we need to work together to solve this, to change these terrible statistics, and to, instead of always repairing the damage, which is essentially what we're doing inside the shelter, and seeing the damage on the families and the women and the children and even the men, we have to avoid the damage to begin with, prevent that. And that's, I think, a big part of this is to say we all have a part to play in this, to change this, to make it better. So,
and we want the men to feel very welcome, because this is not a show where we're not against men. You know, even though a lot of the abusers are men, there are a lot of wonderful men. I tell people I'm a much better woman because of my husband and because of what he brings. So it's not, we don't have this anger towards men, but we really, really want to encourage them to come and be part of it and part of the discussion, because we need the whole community, and we need men to stand up beside us and say that they also don't agree. And we need all people. We need the linear thinking people. We need, you know, businesses. We need people to come together. And part of our hope is we're having a community conversation. And at that time, we're hoping to have people come from all different avenues. The police department's going to be there. The fire chief has said he'd be there. You know, we've got different people coming together, community leaders, to help in our conversation of how can we handle this as a community problem and help mm-hmm. get the right help out there.
So what made you feel like sculptural work was the best way to express this kind of message?
Excellent question. I've done paintings for several years, and it's about women and their voices. And so part of my whole thing with this show, Unheard Voices, Unheard Wisdom, is that for us to really understand the problem, we have to hear the voices of the survivors, of the children who've experienced this and watched this, because to solve the problem, we have to really understand it. And it's hard for some of us who have been lucky enough not to have been on the side of the abuse to really understand what they go through, what help do they really need, instead of what help do we think they need. And part of it, when I was thinking about it, is I didn't want to have any age or skin color or anything associated. I didn't want someone to say, oh, well, that looks like my, you know, Aunt Nancy, and she wasn't very nice and she got hit or whatever. I didn't want any, I want it to be about the essence of the work and about what the work is trying to convey about the abuse. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't want, they do not have faces, because I did not want any recognition or people to not go to the real issue, and that is what the message of the abuse is happening, or what the piece is conveying.
And I think that three-dimensional aspect of a sculpture, something mm-hmm. like that, as opposed to something, a picture or a portrait or a painting, is so much more powerful. It just brings it so much more alive and real. And I think that's, to me, a great power of the artwork that she's created, is it just brings alive the feelings and the emotions associated with the issue, so that people can relate to that a little more and understand it from that perspective a little more, other than just a number, you know, or a statistic, which is easy to just kind of blow off and say, oh, gee, that's really too bad. But this brings it really home. It brings it alive. So,
mm-hmm. And we're also having two other features of the show. One of them is a wall of hope, where we're having people write their stories of hope on some canvas squares. I'm going to create a community quilt. Mm-hmm. And so we have some already out in the community, but if people want to add their hope. And then we're also doing what we call the door of wisdom, but just kind of opening, bringing the wisdom from behind closed doors forward. And that is something that people, when they come, they can offer wisdom to young girls and young boys, to survivors, to victims, that will offer hope. And we're hoping to collect some of this and somehow in the future either put it in a book form, or I've been thinking about quilts. We've been talking about actual quilts to comfort the people that are going through the healing
from the trauma.
Time, mm-hmm. From the trauma at that time.
So what kind of consulting from Wish went into the artwork?
Well, we just helped give a context, I guess, mm-hmm. to the artwork and some of our experiences we were able to, you know, share with Carmel and support. And it's a beautiful collaborative effort. It really is, mm-hmm. because we were able to kind of complement the work that she's created with the information and knowledge that we have. So it's really a wonderful partnership.
Yes.
Great. Anything else to add?
And I think, too, what I'm seeing is the support that these people in Wish, KIC as a program, Gateway, so there's others in the community, but the support they need, the hours they work. The research I did repeatedly talked about how underfunded and undersupported shelters are. Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. and that we really need to support them. It's a hard issue. It's a hard issue to raise money for and awareness of, and that is my hope. And also just to be aware, Ketchikan, we're isolated. So abuse victims can't get in their car and just drive to a relative a few hours away. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a unique situation on this island, and I think together we have wonderful people in this community, and I think I'm excited to see what comes from these conversations.
And from our perspective, the healing that this is going to give some of the victims is beyond measure. I can't describe it. But when the community takes a stand like this, or an artist makes an effort like this to share their stories, it's so powerful. So we're mm-hmm. thankful for that.
Mm-hmm. So the exhibit it opens on March 7th from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. And then can you talk about how long it's going to be?
It's going to be up till the Friday the 28th, I believe, is the closing date.
At the Main Street Gallery.
Gallery, correct. Mm-hmm. And 5 to 7 is the opening. And we will have advocates at the opening, too, to support anybody who needs to talk to somebody.
Mm-hmm. And is it a free exhibit? Is there an entrance
yes,
fee?
Yes, no. Okay. And we do recommend it for... it's not a show for children. There are going to be pretty powerful images. People have asked me the age, and I basically feel like the dating age when they're old enough to be dating and in relationships, because that's another thing I found. A lot of this starts actually about the time that people start dating, is when the coercion starts and the, oh, baby, do you love me, and that kind of behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So
behavior.
That's mm-hmm. when I guess I believe that's the age that's able to see the show. We also have the artist talk on Tuesday and then the community talk.
So the artist talk March 11th from 7 to 8 p.m. and community conversation March 12th from 6:30 to 8 p.m. And where should people go for more information?
We have a Facebook page, Unheard Voices, Unheard Wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
We have, there's going to be lots of postcards coming out with the gallery, or we can call Wish and speak to Diane or mm-hmm. myself, but there's mm-hmm. wonderful information, and we really, really encourage the community to come to the show and to the community conversation so mm-hmm. that we can help make this even more wonderful community for all to live in.
Yeah. All right, Carmel Anderson and Diane Gubatayo, thank you both for being here. I look forward to the exhibit.